Okay, good morning, everybody. Shekoach Mendy, Shkoach, everybody, for coming. Everyone, the Floridians really appreciate the weather that we're having here. It's another cold, snowy day in Fairlawn. And I just want to begin by saying our learning should serve as an eloy for all of the neshamos that we're learning for today. Big an eden shamala, and give the families the true nechama as well. We are learning Parshas Truma. It's actually a very unique year in so many different ways. And one of the ways that it's unique is that usually, or I would say, you know, the other way to say it is generally, Parshas Zachor does not fall out in Parshas Truma. Those two do not usually go together. Usually in a non-leap year, it is on Tetzaveh. So it's unique for that reason. It's unique because it's, you know, for everything else that is going on. So I'd like to, we'll share five thoughts about Truma itself, the Ezras Hashem. I hope next week we'll find time and we'll learn about the Megillah, or five thoughts on the Megillah, Be'ezras Hashem, next week. So let's begin here with a few different Hasidisha vorts and a story from Rabbi Twersky's Zatzal's book. Upinehem ish alachiv. So we learn about all the accoutrements, all of the different kalim, the vessels that were made in the Mishkan. And we have the commandment, Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Besocham, to build a house for God. And we need to discuss, and you know, what does that mean to build a house for someone or something that does not have a body, does not have a guf? Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have, what does it mean to build a house for the Ribono Shel Olam? And you have to think about what the purpose is of all of these vessels, of all the kalim that are supposed to be made and placed into this house of God that we call the Mikdash, the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, has many, many different names and many different iterations. So we'll begin here with the Kruvim. The Kruvim, we are told, have Tzmachlokis Nigmar, exactly what the Kruvim looked like. They have faces of angels, faces of children. Upinehem, they faced each other. And the way that the Torah says it is Upinehem Ish Elachiv. And we learn from here, there are actually psukim elsewhere that say that they did not face each other, but they faced outwards. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah that it depends on how the Jewish people were doing. If you wanted to take the temperature of Klal Yisrael, if the Jewish people felt united and felt one and felt together and felt on the same page, that didn't mean that we all agreed with one another, but we... there was a feeling from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we had each other's backs. Then the Jewish people were Pinehem Ish Elachiv. Then we, the Kruvim, faced each other. This is a way to take the temperature of Klal Yisrael. And the Tzel Ha'eda, I don't know who the Tzel Ha'eda is, I saw this quoted in the Sefer Iturei Torah, that Upinehem Ish Elachiv, look at the last letters in these four words. Mem, Shin, Lamed, Vav. What does that spell out? Seifa Tevos, Shalom. This spells out, Upinehem Ish Elachiv. If you want to see, right, when the Jewish people are Bishalom with one another, they're Bishlemas, they feel complete, whole, peaceful, united with one another, then Upinehem Ish Elachiv. Not only literally what the Pasuk means, that they face each other, but even deeper, that the psukim themselves, the Sefer Tevos, the last letters reflect this notion as well. Mem, Shin, Lamed, Vav, Shalom. B'shasha Yisrael, Olin, L'regel, Megolin, Lahemes, Aparoches. And the Gemara in Yuma tells us that when the Jewish people would be Olin, L'regel, three times a year, we did Aliyah, L'regel, they would open up the Paroches, and people would be able to peer into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Umarin, Lahemes, Akruvim. You would see the Kruvim, and the language of the Gemara is Sheim Be'ahava U'Beshalom Zayim Zeh. And you would see the love that the Kruvim, these images, had for one another, reflecting the Chiba between Jewish people and between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Because if we are have each other's backs, if we are Beshalom with our brothers and sisters, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Bishalom with us. That is the first thought from the Tzel Ha'eda. we continue here with a well-known Kutzke Rebbe. The Kutzke Rebbe says, Vasuli Mikdash, make for me a Mikdash, Vishachanti Bisocham, and I will dwell in them. That is not accurate grammar. The Pasuk should have said, Vishachanti Bisocho, if you donate money and you give the money for this beautiful edifice, for this beautiful Mikdash, then I will dwell in it. I will dwell bisocho in this building. Yet that's not what the Torah tells us. Vishachanti bisocham, I will dwell in them. What is them that I will dwell in? The Kutzke Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kutzk, says something really, really beautiful. Bisocham lo ne'mar v'lo bisocho lamedcha, shekol adam chayv livnos as a mishkan belibo. Because really, ultimately, if we make space for God, then God dwells in us. And God dwells in us. And that's the deeper meaning. On one level, we're building a physical building called the Mishkan, and that in which is going to house the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But on a deeper level, there's also a blueprint here about how to build and make a meaningful life where we can make space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our life. And this is a story here that is told by Rabbi Abram J. Twersky in his book, which is excellent. It's hard to get. I looked on Amazon. It's called Twersky on Chumash. There's like 5 to 8 really great, excellent Divrei Torah on every single Parsha. I don't have it. My parents have it in their house. So I took pictures of... I was there like 2 weeks ago. So I took pictures of Mishpatim, Truman, Tetzaveh. Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kutzk first came to Simcha Budin of Preshisk. The latter asked him, young man, where can one find God? Rav Simcha Budin was his Rebbe. Where can you find God? So Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kutzk, as a young kid, God is everywhere. Can find God. God's everywhere. Rav Simcha Budin again asked, where can you find God? And he said, his glory, Melo kol aretz kevodo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He said, and he asked again, where can you find God? So the Kutzke Rebbe, as a young man, said, if my answers don't satisfy you, then you tell me. Tell me what the answer is. Clearly, I'm not getting the point. I'm not getting it. And he said to him, God can be found wherever one permits him to enter. The Torah says that we must behave in a manner that does not cause God to turn away from us, meaning that v'shachanti b'socham, wherever we make space for God, God is there. The Talmud says that God shuns a person who is vain and arrogant. I cannot dwell with him. Eineni yachol lador ba'olamo. I abide in exaltedness and holiness, but am with the contrite and the lowly spirit. A recovered alcoholic once said, when I stopped drinking, I felt a terrible void within me. That was a space where God belonged. How foolish of me to have tried to fill that space with alcohol. People who do not drink may try to fill that space with money, power, acclaim, honor, kavod, or any of the variety of pleasures. Rav Simcha Budin was right. Every person, v'shachanti b'socha, has a space where God belongs. We must make that space available so that God can enter it. This was one of the fundamental principles in which Rabbi Abram J. Twersky lived by and educated and taught and counseled thousands and thousands of people. We all have the ability to have God within us. It is our job to make space for Kadosh Baruch Hu in our life. That is a second thought. Let's continue on with Vasu Aron. The first kli, the first vessel that we are commanded to build is the Aron. Vasu Aron, the Mefarshim ask, and not v'asita. V'asita is in singular, you shall make it. V'asu, we, in the plural, shall make it. But I want to focus here on a different concept, and that is the following. If you look at the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and what needed to be placed in there, you will notice that the dimensions are off, that there's too many things in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that could actually fill the space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The numbers are off. You know, when you go to an architect, you build a house. So before you actually build the actual physical house, you have to hire an architect. The architect makes dimensions and makes, you know, makes a whole blueprint. And the blueprint is very, very detailed and very, very specific about, you know, numbers and space and feet and yards and meters and exactly how much each, you know, place needs to have in the space, even the spacing between, you know, one floor and the other, what's going to be in there, you know, when you okay the original plans and the next plans go. And then the contractor needs to come in and build that house, you know, and you, and if you are building a house, you need to speak to people that use these architects beforehand to make sure that these architects, you know, work well with whatever contractor is going to come in. Number one. Number two is that they, their numbers are accurate, that the numbers that they're giving you are accurate and actually can work in the space that you have. Sometimes it looks so great on paper, but it doesn't really work out. And here it didn't work out. The numbers of the measurements of everything that belonged to Kodesh Kodashim was off. It was too much space, too many things per space of the actual size of the Arum. And how did that work out? Did the Kodesh Baruch Hu mess it up? Did the architect of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe Bitzalel, make a mistake? No, the Gemara says here, this is one of the many, many miracles of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. Makom Aron Einon Min Amida. The Aron somehow, miraculously, I can't explain it myself, but was not counted as part of the actual, you know, space. It was not part of time and space, the Aron itself. It was there, it was present. You could see it was physical. It manifested in reality, but Eina Min Amida, it didn't count as part of the space in the room, which is something that we can't actually, we can't fathom. But that's what, that was one of the miracles. And some argue this maybe was the greatest miracle that occurred in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And now why is that? What's the message there? You know, we could talk about this miracle and we can say, oh my gosh, it's amazing and very, very significant. And how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually do this? But we can also ask ourselves, what does this mean for us in our own lives? What is it? How is this relevant to us? How does this, you know, every piece of the Mishkan is something that is supposed to be instructive for our own lives and meaningful for us and mean something for us? So the Reisha Rav, Aaron Levine, or the Reisha Rav, I think his sefer is called Darish for Ian. He writes here something very, very, I think, beautiful. Very simple idea, but a beautiful idea. He writes a Talmud Chacham, a true Talmud Chacham, a true leader in Klal Yisrael, sheyeshbo mishkan laTorah kedoshah, that whose body itself and whose life itself is dedicated to the Jewish people, who represents and embodies the ideas and ideals of the Torah, is somebody that can't be tofis makom, can't be somebody that, it should be somebody that's ena min amida, somebody that does not stick out, who's trying to show off and is arrogant, needs to express this humility in a very real way. And when people come in, they say, when Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Zatzal, he said, you should read this, Google this after the shiur, his first interaction with Lubavitcher Rebbe, and what caught his eye and his heart and mind and soul to connect to Lubavitcher Rebbe was the fact that when he went to the Rebbe's office, and the Rebbe would meet with hundreds of people a day, he found that it was as if there was nobody else in the room except for him. And there was no one other thing that was going to bother the Rebbe, and nothing else was going on in the Rebbe's life except for the other person in the room, Upneim Ishel Achiv, who was focused on him. He was able to limit himself, and by limiting himself, the Rebbe, he was able to give so much to the other person, and that's how he was able to lift up so many people. And he says here, that's Makom Aron Eina Min Amida, that's a true embodiment of somebody that lives the Torah, is that it's not about them, it's always about the other. It's always about somebody else. And there's a great story that expresses this notion, which this is one of my favorite stories. My kids know this one. It's about, and this is quoted in the Sefer Yagdil Torah, with Rabbi Yekiva Eger and Rav Yaakov Leuterbaum. Rav Yaakov Leuterbaum is not as well known as Rabbi Yekiva Eger. Rabbi Yekiva Eger and Rav Yaakov Leuterbaum were great gedolim who lived in the mid-1800s. Rav Leuterbaum wrote several different svarim. He was called the Rav Yaakov Milisa. Lisa was a town in Eastern Europe in which he was the Rav of. And he wrote many, many svarim. He actually wrote a sefer on Megillas Esther. It's called Megillas Starim, which is quoted very often. And he wrote many commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, specifically on Yoredeya, on Kashrus, and on Hilchos Nida. And there was one time when Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chavos Das, which is one of his Sfarim, the Nesivos, it's the other Sefer, he had a lot of different names by his Sfarim, Rav Yaakov Leuterbaum, the two of them are traveling together to Warsaw in a caravan. And, you know, the townspeople, Warsaw was a very big town, the townspeople heard that these two great gedolim, these true leaders of the Jewish people, were coming to visit the town. So they all started coming close to the caravan. And a caravan has big wheels on it and is, you know, guided by, you know, somebody that's on a horse. And that's how it would go. So when the people would come towards the caravan, they wanted to show Kavod HaTorah. They wanted to show how much they appreciated, deeply appreciated, and respected these venerated Rabbanim. So what did they do? They went towards the caravan. They removed the shackles of the horse from it. And they lifted up the caravan and they carried the caravan into the city to show the Kavod HaTorah. Now, while this was happening, what happened? Rabbi Kiva Eger said, that's so beautiful that they're doing this to show Kavod HaTorah for Rav Yaakov Leuterbaum. He is such a chashav and very well-respected person. He's my Rebbe. I love, you know, he's amazing. I can't believe they're doing this for him. That's so special. Let me get out of the van, of the caravan, and also show kavod for Rav Yaakov Milisa. Apparently it was big enough where they didn't notice each other. And Rav Kiva Eger, the great Rav, got out of the van and also lifted up the caravan. At the same time, Rav Yaakov did the same thing. He got out of the caravan at the same time and said, oh, wow, look what they're doing. They're also doing this, Rav Kiva Eger. That's such a Kavod HaTorah. I should get involved in this Kavod HaTorah. And he went out as well and lifted up the caravan for Rabbi Kiva Eger. So, you know, you see here that the embodiment of Torah, you see here, Talmud Torah, Eina Min Amida, that true people that embody the Torah, it's never about them. It's always about the other. That is thought number three. Let's continue on with the Aron. We'll have three in total messages about the Aron. Vasu Aron, Vitzipisa Oso Zahav Tahor, Mibayas Umichutz. That the inside of the Aron should be made with gold, and also the outside of it should be made with gold. Now, why is that? Why the middle parts were with wood? Why did the inside and the outside, why were they with gold? So the Gemara tells us in Yuma to teach us that a Talmud Chacham, and when we say Talmud Chacham here, we mean anybody that wants to live by the ideals of Torah, that needs to be Tocho Kiboro. Their insides need to be like their outsides. Their insides needs to reflect their outsides, which is a pretty high and lofty level, that what we say is what we mean. And what we do is what we really mean. And to be genuine, that's really what it means here. That's why the gold is on the inside and gold is on the outside. The Torah is giving, this midah of to be genuine and to be real and to be authentic. That's a real midah. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us a wild story. We've probably seen different parts of this in our learning through the years about Rabbi Gamliel. That Rabbi Gamliel, or took over as a Nasi, his rule when he was a Nasi, when he was the leader of the Jewish people, he only allowed people to join the Beis Medrash, right? He had a guard outside the Beis Medrash. And it wasn't for security, and it wasn't for Corona. He only let people into the Beis Medrash if they were Tocho Kiboro, if their insides were like their outsides, right? And only those people were allowed in. If you didn't have that, you were not allowed in. He eventually was deposed of his position. Rav Elazar ben Azari took over. He removed that requirement. And they said that they had to add in 700 benches into the Beis Medrash. So we could talk about pedagogy for hours about whether this is appropriate or inappropriate. But the Kutzker Rebbe asks, and many others, the Ger Rebbe, many ask the following question, was there really a guard? And if there really was how did this guard know? What was the test? Oh, you're genuine. You're authentic. You're real, but you're not. How do they know? So they say such a really beautiful answer. And I think we could really appreciate this, you know, over the, especially over the past year that we had. He says that there was no physical guard standing watch outside. You know what there was? There was a lock on the front door. And the lock on the front door had a sign. And the sign said, only people that are Tocho Kiboro, that are authentic, are genuine, can come in. But there was a lock on the door. How did people get in? He said, this is the test. If you really wanted to be learning Torah, you'd figure out a way to get in. The Imre Emes wrote that the back door was open or a window. If you wanted to get in, there always is a way. We know this about anything in life. We always think, right? I don't have time. I'm so busy. The things that are important in our life, we make time for. The things that are valuable to us or that we really care about, we make time for them. We make time for them. So Tocho Kiboro, there was no physical shomer outside the door. But if this was something that we really valued, how do we show that we're genuine? We got in, right? The people or the things that we don't have. Okay, so, you know, we'll push it off. We'll push it down the road. We don't really, maybe it reflects, we don't really want to be doing it. We don't really care that much about it. Sometimes we actually are busy. But that's the message here, that the door was open. The door, you know, there was a door. There always is a door that's opened. Ein hadavar omei b'pnei haratzon. One has the will. There always is a way to get in.
Rabbi.
Yes.
So I think this also comes in what we learned on Monday with in Shoftim about leaders. You have to be with your inside, what your outside shows, your inside also has to be the same thing to qualify to be a Shoftim.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, 100%. The last thought here comes from it's actually a big discussion, but there's an isser, a prohibition on the Aron, is that the Aron had poles attached to it. And we're not allowed to remove the poles of the Aron. Even when the Aron, I understand when the Aron was moving and traveling throughout the desert. So there are poles on it. But when the Aron was in a stayed position, when the Aron was not moving, and the Jewish people were encamped, there was a prohibition to remove the poles always from the Aron. Why would that be? What's, again, the message for us? There's an Isser D'Oraisa to remove the poles. The poles always needed to be on it. Why is that so? Why is that so? So you could think about this and you could discuss this. Well, many Mefarshim address this question as to why that was necessary. Why did the Aron, the object that housed the Torah, always need to have the badim, the poles on it? So I'd like to share with you the words of Rav Hirsch, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. He says the following. The meaning and the constant presence of the badim is proof of the independence of Torah in any place. That the purpose of keeping the badim on was to teach us that the Torah travels everywhere and anywhere. Wherever we go, the Torah goes with us. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, there's always something in the Torah that can educate us and instruct us about our lives, to inspire us, to give us chizuk, and to teach us about the situation that we are in. The Torah is infinite. It is God's word. And therefore, wherever the Jewish people find themselves in history, the Torah is always coming with us. Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote, Vayhi ben Sohar Aron, that one of the greatest miracles of the Jewish people is that the Torah always came with us. Wherever we were in exile, wherever we found ourselves throughout our 2,000-year exile, the Torah was always a presence in our lives. And that is the purpose of the Badim. The Badim are on to show us and inspire us in a very beautiful and warm way that the Torah is with us wherever we go. I've shared this before. I found so much chizuk and strength and warmth in the Piskei Halacha coming from Rav Schachter over this past year. And I found that, did we have a pandemic in the past 100 years? No. Yet, the Torah has all the answers. Not the whys. That's not what the Torah, but the whats. What do we do now? How do we address this? Zoom minion, right? We're using principles within the Torah so we can live our lives as Torah Jews. That's one of the reasons, lo yasuru habadim imenu, that the Torah instructs us, the badim don't leave, because the Torah goes with us in every place, in every situation that we are in.
So just Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi, another one with lo yasuru imenu is a person can never rely on the Torah that he has acquired. If you're not in transit, then you can never stay, you can never stay stationary. That's why it always has to be in motion. You always have to
Very
carry
nice.
Another one. There's many.
Very nice. You've got to always move. Awesome. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. So we first discussed the Upnei Mishlachiv, the Seif HaTevel Shalom of the Kruvim, Vasuli Mikdash, a story and a beautiful thought from the Kutzker Rebbe. We discussed Vasu Aron and the great story of Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chavastas, Bali Tamid Chamar Ena Min Amida, the story in the Gemara about Tocho Kibora. What does it mean to be authentic and real? You got to really show that you want it. The guard was never actually outside. And have Torah will travel, as they say. Okay, I wish everybody a great Shabbos for those on this side of the country in the north. Stay safe and stay warm. Everyone should have a great Shabbos. Tonight we have a Zayin Adar dinner program for the shul. It should be very, very special. Encourage everybody to join along tonight. If you have any questions regarding Purim or follow-up, do not hesitate to reach out. Have a great Shabbos, everyone.
Have a good day, Rabbi. I'll speak to you at 5.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay, everyone, have a good day.
Have a good one.
Have a good day.